On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we place the blame of the loss of the Chargers game solely on Derek Carr's shoulders. Well, also we blame Josh McDaniels' play calling as well. We look at the good, the bad, the ugly of Raiders versus Chargers. Look ahead to Raiders versus Cardinals and a big old injury report you will hate to listen to. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, Rory Parsons. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, Rory Parsons. Let's have some fun today. We are officially into the NFL season.
Balls deep.
We are ball. I don't know if we're balls deep, but we're more than just the tip. I mean, we're
doing the sound check on the outside. We're just tapping.
Right. We're in. We're technically in. Like, we can tell our buddies we scored. But we're not all the way, you know. We got a long road.
Yeah,
a long road, right? Another 22 weeks of NFL football, including playoffs.
Glorious weeks.
But that's I made the smart decision in my I'm almost 40, so I've become wiser in my older age, and I gave the wife subtle hints all September, like, oh yeah, when football season rolls around, we're not gonna be able to do this on Sunday. It's like, oh, just so you know, you're gonna lose your husband on Sundays. And this was by far the least amount of bitching from the wife of any week one football Sunday of our marriage. Just little subtle passive aggressive digs to let her know she's a single woman every Sunday from now on, because my ass ain't leaving that couch.
Maybe she knew how big of a Derek Carr fan you were, and she didn't want to rub it in after his performance. She's like, I'm gonna leave him alone. He suffered enough today.
Like, he'll learn. He'll after a loss, this is what he deserves, not what he's earned.
My lady's at the point where she texts me updates, knowing that I can't watch the game live.
Now, like, is that a good thing, or you're like, bitch, stop giving me spoilers?
No, it's absolutely incredible. Like, I need to know. It's incredible.
Yeah, you won't shut up. You keep texting me. What's going on? What's up? What's going on?
That's dude, what I'm saying, man.
It's fucking timeout still. You just
there's like 87 like play-by-play apps on phones. Like, why? Like, what is this? Like 2004? It's like, hey, bro, can you text me what's happening? Twitter doesn't exist.
Soto still got SMS texts flying out from his Android. So if I'm in bad cell phone reception area, that actually gets through where nothing else goes through. So it's perfect.
I have an Android and I'm proud of it.
It's like when we get hit with like an electromagnetic bomb, and the only way to move around is by like horses and wind sails. That's Soto. He's their only form of communication. Him and his 100%. Ham radio.
Yeah, ham radio. Got him.
Clutch.
You got one of those ones that you kind of wind up and it works. The radio.
All right. Well, question of the day. Obviously, not a great performance by most of the Raiders on Sunday against Los Angeles Chargers. So we'll start it off positive, but before we start getting too negative. Which Raider impressed you the most against the Chargers? And it can be the guy that just did the best. It could be the guy that outperformed what you expected. It could be the guy that was the unsung hero. Wide open to interpretation. We'll pin it on the comment section. Let us know down below which Raider impressed you the most against the Chargers. Who wants to go first?
I'll take a stab at it, if you don't mind.
Stab it.
I was pleasantly surprised by Dylan Parham's play. He didn't make any egregious mistakes on the offensive line, which I'm like, okay, there was a lot of mistakes made, but I don't know that he made any of them. I am most impressed by Davante Adams, but I was kind of expecting it. So I'm going to choose Nate Hobbs. Because he proved that last year.
He's going to pick three guys.
Yeah, he literally just picked three.
I'm telling you why I'm not picking these guys. I'm not picking Parham. I'm not picking Adams. I'm picking Nate Hobbs. Because he proved that last year wasn't a fluke. He was flashing all around on defense and made a big play on a big third down. Tackles for loss. He was hard to block. He was covering. Tight.
Didn't Dylan Parham only play like three series? Like, he's
started the game.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Parham?
You say Parham?
Arum?
He fucking butchers everybody. Everyone. Name.
I guess he did, right? Started at guard.
Yeah.
All right. So Nate Hobbs.
I mean, I actually didn't know that. Goes to show you. Honestly, Nate Hobbs is going to be my pick. I'll mix it up. If I was going to go the same route as you there, Soto, and say, obviously, Davante Adams, but everyone kind of expected that. He's exactly as advertised. He's an absolute monster. And also the connection with Carr.
He's that dude, man.
He's that dude, but you can see it's amazing already, but it's only going to keep getting better, too. There was still some missed opportunities there. I'd say the person that surprised me the most on a weird one would be Andrew Billings. Super random. He had a really good game. He was often getting doubled, but he was blowing up plays, blowing up running plays, short yardage plays. There was also a really nice hustle play from him where he ran, scraped along the line, went all the way to the sideline and made a tackle, which was super impressive. But I'll mix it up from Hobbs and I'll say Jonathan Abram. I'll say your boy Jonathan Abram.
Like, great.
Honestly, man, that would be one of my favorite storylines of this season is that he turns it around and becomes a premier strong safety. I swear I'd be so fucking happy.
When we were doing our predictions and like hot takes for this season last week, we listed everyone what people said and we talked about and we forgot to actually do ours. Mine was Jonathan Abram would be a Pro Bowler. Like, that was my like crazy hot take. Only because like he's improved so much every season, right? Like, obviously, giant liability in the passing game, but he improved so much more than the one before. And he's such a dangerous tackler and so dangerous in the box. He was the second leading tackler on the team last season before he got hurt. It's like, that's a big deal, right? And that's coming off of a guy who had basically no rookie year because he played one game and got hurt. And so he's still playing so much catch up. So his ability to improve is way up there. And yeah, and he showed there's no play where you're like, well, Abram really blew that, right? Like, he missed, you know, he a couple guys got catches on him, but there's only one pass defended. Nate Hobbs with that clutch one, literally the only pass defended by the Raiders all game long. So in a game where Justin Herbert was like trending to throw like 400 yards, like, Abram hung in there with Herbert's best and against the best receivers with the Chargers. Like, he hung in there. Crazy. Well, you guys are begging me to do Davante Adams because that's the obvious one. You're just saying he's as advertised. I think he's better than advertised. Like, there were so many times, like, multiple routes, good. Like three routes from like, whoa, wow, the corner blew that coverage. And you're like, no.
He fell down.
The shit out of him. He fell down, bad coverage. It's like, no, Davante just mollywopped him with his route. Like, he got him to break his ankle without touching him. He's better than advertised.
That touchdown catch, Jesus Christ. That was the last half of the ball. He caught the back
sneaky
half of that
good.
Ball.
That was pretty.
Saved his boy Derek Carr on that because he would have had a lot of shit if he missed that one too.
I'm tempted to say Josh Jacobs for his 5.7 yards per carry and the fact that he got an 18-yard reception, which that's something he's been working on, being that guy. He
showed some burst on that reception too. He caught the ball and
he
was gone.
He wasn't anything we hadn't seen. He was just a good version of himself. Like, he didn't break one for 60. Like, that's what he's been lacking. Like, that's the biggest thing I'm lacking for him. You know, he didn't break one for 60. But he was just like, oh, that's a 4-yard run. Oh, no, now it's 7. Oh, that's going to be a loss of 1. Oh, now it's 2. It's a gain of 2. Like, that's Josh Jacobs. Like, I'm going to get you 3 more yards than the average running back. I'm not going to dazzle you with speed. I'm not going to juke out 3 dudes, but I'll get you more yards than the average guy every single time. So, that was big. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go the entire Raider defense penalties. We had 1 penalty called in our entire defense, and that was that bullshit Nate Hobbs roughing the pass.
When
Justin
terrible.
Herbert was like supposed to be sliding, but he never slid. He just kind of awkwardly fell over, and Nate's like, "When do I stop?" And he just kind of like fell on him. And they're like, "Oh, flag." And you're like, "Oh,
like,
come
dude,
on!"
You have to slide for it to be a slide. He didn't slide. Mm-hmm. He never committed to it until after he got hit.
That's a savvy veteran move to bait the ref into being like, "That wasn't a slide. He can't touch me."
It was terrible. Sneaky. And the fact that two of them threw the flag on that made it even worse.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible.
And that's literally the only penalty on the entire defense. Like, this is the most penalized team every single season, the most penalized team since the Super Bowl era by far. We did the math. It was like they had like 800 more yards than number 2 when it comes to penalties since the Super Bowl era. And that was the thing that we were saying. Like, if there's one thing that I think is going to keep Josh McDaniels up at night this preseason, it's that stat, that they're the most penalized team. It's so un-McDaniels, so un- Patriot way, so un them. So far, I think it was 3 penalties total on the entire team, and only one on the defense, and it was bullshit.
Yeah. One on your boy Luminor on a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
So we all kind of cheated a little bit, and that was a whole bunch of answers. But at least you got a lot of things to do, right? You have a cornucopia of choices to kind of get your brain rolling. Which Raider impressed you the most against the Chargers? Down in the comments section, pinned, let us know. All right. Well, we haven't done this in a while.
Sounds so good.
Raiders mosey on into SoFi Stadium, fall to the Chargers 19-24. Surprisingly close for how many giant fuck-ups the Raiders had. And considering just how really talented the Chargers are, the fact that we were within 5 is pretty nuts. Mm-hmm. And I think that if this was the normal score, if we played well, I wouldn't have been surprised. The Chargers are literally more talented than the Raiders at almost every position minus tight end, linebacker, kicker,
wide receiver.
Yeah. Like 4 positions. Really? Like that's it. And I think we were all expecting like, hey, they were more talented than us last season. We beat them in week 18. Like we can do it again. Like that was a Herculean effort. Right. So this was not a slap in the face, but I think a wake up call that was expected. And there's obviously plenty of shit on tape to work on.
For sure. Well, you know that sound. It means the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're going to start with the good, like we always do. The good. Got to start with Davante Adams. 10 catches for 141 yards and that sweet touchdown. Mm-hmm. RJ talked about it. Juking DBs out of their socks. Getting wide open. Breaking tackles. He looked like a young Davante Adams, hard to bring down. He went down when he wanted to go down. He was not going to get tackled by the first guy. So great job for Davante Adams.
And he was wide open in a bunch of other
spots.
That didn't. One of the interceptions, he had half a step on the DB. The ball was underthrown. Like that stat line's great, and it could have been better.
A lot better, yeah. Jonathan Abram, your boy.
Mm-hmm.
12 tackles, 9 solo. So great work. Jonathan Abram led the team. Next on the list is Max.
Well, and real quick, and that's again, like that's what he's known for, right? Like, all right, we want a hard hitting box safety. Like, never got embarrassed in the passing game.
Yeah, so I mean,
he gave up some passes. Never
there was that weird pass where the Charger teammates ran into each other. Everett ran into Keenan Allen, mm-hmm. and Everett ended up catching the ball when Keenan Allen was actually like it was supposed to go to Keenan Allen. Like Everett mm-hmm. ran the wrong route. Or root, as Roy would say. But that was the only time I saw him like looking weird on a pass to him was just a kind of a fluke play.
I think he was used correctly for the first time in a long time. Like he was mostly around the line of scrimmage. If he did drop into coverage, it was in the flats or it was fairly shallow. Like the play was always in front of him, which you're always going to get the best out of Jonathan Abram if the play's in front of him. But the fact that Herbert kept going his way, usually on dump offs or sort of the intermediate routes, like he made the tackles that he was supposed to make. He was in the position that he was supposed to be in, and he didn't commit any penalties. Like it was a great start for him.
Yeah, great work for Jonathan Abram.
Now stay healthy.
Yeah, right. Another great job turned in by Max Crosby. 10 tackles out of the defensive end position, 8 solo, 1 tackle for loss, 2 big quarterback hits, countless other pressures. So great job, Mad Max, picking up the slack that Chandler Jones left because he hardly did anything. I think he had 2 tackles in the entire day.
Yeah, we didn't have a single sack or turnover, but Max was very Max. Like he was just around the ball and disrupting every play, right? Like he's hurrying the quarterback. He's, you know, forcing the running back to stay in and chip, you know, like forcing the running back to cut his route, you know, to change his lane. Like, again, he's so much better than a stat line ever shows. And this was a vintage like version of Max Crosby. Like,
for sure.
Ngakoue was literally just stat line. That's all he had was stats. Max, literally the opposite.
Right.
Yeah, he's all around the ball. He flashed like crazy all during the game.
There's one play where he was triple teamed. So they chipped him, and then there was 2 offensive linemen, and he still got the hurry. Like, he's an absolute freak, dude. He really is. And like, you don't really see it until you watch the All 22, but there's so many times when Herbert was looking deep and his wide receiver had a step on our DB or had some space, and he was forced into the check down or to scramble out and find an intermediate route. And it was just because of Crosby's pressure. It really was. I mean, there was a couple of instances it was coming from the interior. But, I mean, I hope he gets more sacks because he'll get the critical acclaim across the board that he deserves this year. But still, I don't think this defense is anywhere near as good. Or we're not competitive as a team without Mad Max.
All right, next up is Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs had an excellent game. He was all over the field in coverage. RJ said earlier, we had one pass defense, and it was Nate Hobbs on a big third down play. Tackles for loss, 9 tackles, 6 solo, 2 tackles for loss, and that big pass defense on a big third down. Nate Hobbs proved that last year was not a fluke. He is that guy.
Big enough to cover a tight end, fast enough to cover your X, physical enough to blitz, physical enough to play slot and help out run defense. Guy can do it all. I'm curious what they're going to do now that we're going to get to our injury report here in a little bit, but I'm curious what they're going to do with him. Do they leave him at slot? Do they say, like, all right, we desperately need a good outside corner? He can do it all.
He is such a weapon in the nickel, though. Like, he's got such an innate instinct for, like, crashing the edge, like, timing on those blitzes, those nickel blitzes. And he's a sure tackler, man. He tackles with pop. I'd leave him inside and see what goes outside, but fucking hell, man. Amik Robertson, again, did not have a good game.
All righty. That was the good. Unfortunately, it's called the good, the bad, the ugly. So we got to start. We got to go to the bad. The bad. Our offensive line gave up 6 sacks, 5 on Derek Carr and technically 1 on Davante Adams. They gave up 6 sacks.
Poor Devontae and his passing stats are just taking a shit. You know what I mean? All his receiver stats, but God, poor guy.
Yeah, not a great showing by the offensive line. A couple of good stretches, but overall, kind of what we worried about. Not a lot of continuity. If it wasn't one side screwing up, it was the other side. You can't really put your finger on one guy, specific guy that was, well, this is the cause of the problem right here. It was pretty much stretched out across the whole line.
Yeah. The whole, we're just going to keep rotating guys in, even if they're not hurt, because we got 7-8 guys that have earned the right to be a starter. It's like, no, you don't have 5 guys that are a starter. So you have 7 or 8 dudes. And
you're trying to find that rotating guy.
Which I guess is like the right strategy, but it didn't work at all. Ignoring the O-line the way they did, we were talking about this on the post show. It's like, all right, well, do they have a master plan? Like, do they know something we don't? Like, how do you not address right tackle or the line in general? All right, we'll find out in week 1. It's like, nope, no plan. They don't have a plan.
Just roll them out.
It's a weird strategy to rotate them. And I will give the beat writers a lot of credit, actually. They asked the right questions this week. I don't know if you watched the Mike Lombardi interview or the Josh McDaniels interview after the game, but they really addressed this. They were like, why are you rotating these guys in and out? And Lombardi specifically said that they weren't trying to find something. Like, they know what they have, and they feel like they have 8 or 9 guys that have earned the right to play. And that's what they've done throughout training camp, where they've sort of rotated them in and out. So that was part of a strategy throughout, was to keep guys fresh, but is that a good strategy? I don't think so, right? Like, how are you supposed to get any chemistry? How are you supposed to get momentum? It's a weird comment. You know, we've still got some cap. We don't know how much, but fuck, man. We gotta at least add something, especially with Andre James. Like, who's our backup center? Parham?
Parham.
So then what are we doing at guard? Are we leaving Cotton in? Are we leaving Simpson in the whole time? So it's kind of forcing their hand a little bit. But it's weird. No doubt about it.
I mean, Illuminor could play guard if Munford is on a tackle.
Well, look, it's so true. Bad. And they're like, all right, they're not picking up anyone in free agency because they think none of them are worth the money. Okay. It's so bad, you need to start trading. It's like, hey, anyone want a 3rd-round pick for, like, a semi-decent starting right tackle? 2nd-round? Like, it's at that point. It's no longer like, well, you know, the value's just not there. It's like, well, you got to make a move. It's so bad. You have to make a move and not just hope someone falls off the scrap heap onto your dick and you're set. Like, you need to be aggressive here because it is so bad.
That's happened to me a couple times at Crow's.
Yeah.
Someone just fell off the scrap heap on my dick.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Rough.
I want to pretend we're at Crow's.
You got to be at an act. We got to act like you're at a decent steakhouse. You got to make a move, right?
Like next door? Like the steakhouse next door?
I want to address this, though, because you say a decent right tackle. Do we really need a right tackle, or do we need a right guard or a left guard?
Yes. I mean,
that's the answer, right?
It's right tackle is most valuable.
A little bit of an upgrade everywhere.
It's all needed.
Well, that's the thing is it wasn't just one guy screwing up. It was everybody across the line at different times.
Yeah. Even Colt Miller gave up some tackles,
Colt Miller
right?
Got fucking abused.
And that's the thing. It was
a couple times.
We like so often Raider Nation's like, well, Colt Miller, why didn't he make the Pro Bowl? Why doesn't he get love? It's like, he's good. He just looks great next to the rest of our line. Like, he's not this crazy awesome left tackle. He's good.
He's up and down too.
Not as good as Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack on the other side, right? Like, he's not that good where you're like, all right, he's got Bosa, no problem. Let's just slide everyone the other way. It's like, not that.
No,
no way.
Definitely not that.
So we said this going into the game. Like, I thought Luminor had a really good preseason. I was really high on him. And obviously, he thought he'd start a right tackle after he'd sort of showed out during the preseason. Obviously, Illuminor stuck out because that one play where Khalil Mack bull rushed him straight back into Derek Carr. Yeah. But the two beats from Colton Miller in one-on-one were arguably just as bad.
They were worse, and dude, because he got beat clean on one of them. Right. At least Illuminor got pushed back. He stayed in front of him. Miller got beat clean out of his socks.
So you watched the all 22, and I was expecting to see all five guys just getting fucking worked the whole time. And that wasn't the case. I mean, more often than we thought going into the game, Illuminor was on an island. Colt Miller was also on an island against two of the top five, top six, top seven pass rushers in the NFL, period. Both healthy, which they never are. And obviously, as an offensive lineman, it's not the 99% of plays where you've handled yourself well one-on-one. It's the one way you get bull rushed back into Derek Carr. And that's what happened with the Illuminor rush. Otherwise, not bad, man. Not bad. Held his own against Joey Bosa the whole time, one-on-one. Was handling inside-outside spin moves. Was handling speed rushes, bull rushes, the whole nine. If anything, it was the left side of the line that struggled the most. And it was, it wasn't just how well are these guys holding up. It was, is this the right call? At third and seven, are we really looking to pick up 30 yards? Or should we have a couple more underneath options? Or a fucking screen? Well, maybe we shouldn't do an empty set on first down against two of the best pass rushers in the NFL. You know what I mean? There's a lot of questionable calls like that.
Well, that leads to the bad.
That's a great setup, Rory. What a professional.
Someone read the rundown.
The bad. Josh McDaniels play calling. We talked about it a little bit after the post game. Not a lot of draw plays. I think it was one draw play run. There was two screens run. One of them was blown up. Because of poor blocking by Colton Miller. If you want to slow down a couple of guys, you got to, make them misdirection and not a double reverse like they tried to do. And it just – I don't know whether it was just the lack of play in the preseason, because it just seemed to me that – what is it? Jakobsen? Is that how you say it?
No,
he leaked out a couple of times really late. Like, he did not get his head around. And that caused at least one sack. That one sack, the first sack with Derwin James got Carr. He was looking deep the entire time. And Josh Jacobs did a decent job of getting Derwin James off his feet. But Derwin James is fucking Derwin James. And he was able to pop right back up. And Jakobsen was the late check down. He just didn't get his head around in time. So there's a couple things here and there, but again, hopefully that gets ironed out and we're not playing two Hall of Fame defensive ends at the same time. But yeah, the play calling was kind of a head scratcher. A lot of really deep stuff. Not really a lot of intermediate routes, not a lot of things for Carr to do to slow down the pass rush a little bit, to give him a little bit of a pause. We talked about, screen passes and draw plays. Not a lot of that stuff
that's
going on.
Basic shit. Like, that's
not a lot of running.
Basic shit, right?
Like, I mean, we ran the ball 13 times the entire game. I understand that we didn't have a lot of plays. We only had like 40 something plays or 50 plays or something like that. We didn't have a lot of plays because we were turning the ball over. but still only 13 carries. That's not Josh McDaniels-esque. He usually runs the ball a lot more than that.
We passed the ball twice as often as we ran it. And we had this discussion where we were talking about, like, look, we're gonna be a passing team, right? You got Davante Adams, he should be getting, after this game, at least 10 targets a game with how well he's playing. Waller needs to get 7-8 a game. Renfrow needs to get 5 or 6. The running backs need him. The other wide receivers need him. We're gonna pass the ball. Against the Chargers, however, with the worst run defense in the league last season, where Jacobs ate them for lunch in week 18, this is the team where we run it. This is the team where we play Smash Mouth. This is the team where it's like, oh, you got Mack and Bosa? All right, let's have them not pin their ears back every single play. Let's run at them. This is the team we're going to run the ball against. And we still did it. We still didn't run the ball against the team, the number one team I thought we'd run the ball against. What is McDaniels thinking?
I agree. It was bad, dude. It really was. I'd put this in the ugly category personally. I was pissed off watching the All-22. There were so many instances where you're like, fuck, man, a screen would work so well in this situation. You know, anyone looking at this from the outside would have looked at this game and put together a game plan that obviously you run the ball. That's, you know, the Chiefs, for example, against the Cardinals, everyone sees the 5 touchdowns Mahomes threw, but they started the game running really effectively. And we should have ran the ball right at these motherfuckers with a fresh Josh Jacobs and a stable full of fucking running backs, right? It didn't make a lot of sense. And we did screen so well and so effectively in the preseason. I just think they maybe got a little too cute with this one and perhaps a little bit too aggressive.
I love McDaniel's play designs. I think his play designs are awesome. I think the one real true play action we did when Waller, that was how Waller got his big play on a really great play action setup. There was multiple guys open that Carr missed. Like, it was schemed up well. Get Devontae in one-on-one, let him do his thing. There's some creative run blocking that they did. The few times we did run it, like, his play designs, I love. It was just his choices against this defense, two Hall of Fame defensive ends. Carr's clearly out of it. Like, after like 2.5 quarters, you're like, okay, we have to stop having Carr do 5-step drops and just hope he crushes it. Like, it's not working. Like, we got to, it's not Carr's day. Pivot. He's just like, nope, 5-step drop. Go, Carr. Good luck. It's like, and didn't work.
Didn't work. Another bad fucking Daniel Collarson. Probably one of the only times all year we're going to put him in this category. Kicking the freaking kickoff out of bounds, giving a potent offense almost as good as a turnover, getting the ball in the 40. Mm-hmm. We basically gave the Chargers the ball at midfield 3 times, twice on interceptions, and this time mm-hmm. kicking the ball out of bounds. And for our defense to only give up 24 points is a goddamn miracle for us mm-hmm. to give them the ball that many times at that good a field position and only give up that many points.
Carlson always has 3 or 4 head-scratching moments every season.
Like, you'll geek like 2 extra points. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But then he'll crank out back-to-back 50-yard field goals right after that, which is what he did, right? Got a 55-yarder on Sunday. So you're just like, all right, we don't hate you, Carlson. But it's like, all right, you know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get 3 or 4, like, God damn it, Daniel. What the fuck? And then 50 other awesome. I'm so glad we paid him.
Yep. You put it the best way, RJ. That's it.
RJ, you're the best. Okay, another bad.
You special. We the Chandler, best user.
We the best. Another one. Chandler Jones and Cleveland Farrell. You like that? Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, that was
opposite
nice.
Max Crosby. Dude, they did almost as little as I did in this game. It was that little. I didn't even know Cleveland Farrell was still alive.
We're like, we're this close to Juan saying that he's going to be better than fucking Chandler Jones. Like,
I'm not saying that.
I bet we could. Oh, man. Soto, even you could like fall, like slip, and like get a hand out and get a tackle. You know what I mean? Even you could do that.
I said about Leatherwood, and I was right. Said that mother packing.
You should be playing both ways. You're better than Leatherwood, and you're better than
Rory. I'm not Rory.
You should play both ways.
They did not do good, man. It's not all about stats, because we've seen Max affect a game dramatically without getting a lot of stats. They were mm-hmm. just they disappeared. We didn't hear their name. We forgot they were on the field.
There was a couple. There was a couple that Chandler Jones got close on. But what was really surprising about this game was how much he was rotated out, number one. Like, they were really protecting him, kind of giving him a pitch count. But then also the fact that it was Cleveland Farrell that was the guy to rotate in with him a ton. Like, where did that come from? It wasn't Tashaun Bauer. It wasn't Malcolm Kuntz. Some of these are obvious passing downs, and we had Cleveland Farrell getting a good amount of snaps, which, of course, he didn't get close at all. I don't think he had much of an impact at all.
He is a terrible pass rusher, dude.
He's not a good pass rusher, that's for sure. And against Slater at left tackle, he's an all-pro rookie last year. Like, that's not going to go well. So it's something to watch for sure, because we signed him, and his reputation is based on him having a big impact, but also him playing the majority of the fucking snaps. So, I don't know. It's something to look at for the rest of the season, to be honest.
McDaniels just loves a football guy. He just loves a football guy. Clay Farrell's a football guy. He just loves a football guy.
Hey, I'm just throwing this out there.
Give him every shot.
It's in the bloodline, okay? It's hereditary. Mm-hmm. He's in Vegas now. You never know.
Why would you even put that in the universe?
Hey, you know, I'm reporting it first. You heard it here first.
I'm going to go the other way. I think this week's going to be a big week for him. He's playing the Cardinals, his old team. Like, I'm thinking two sacks for Chandler Jones, calling it.
All right. Rory, if this comes through, if he does get his two sacks, acai bowl on me.
Big spender.
I'll take it.
$9, man. $9 is $9. Okay, we heard the good. We heard the bad. Now it's time for the ugly. Derek Carr doesn't have to win every single game for us, but he can't play this poorly and us expect to win. There were a lot of he was under pressure. He got sacked a bunch. A couple of those sacks were his fault. He backed into one, and he just sat there with a lane to run for another. He had three interceptions. He fumbled the ball twice. Thank God we got him back both times. But the interceptions were clearly underthrown or late balls. Also, he missed a wide open Darren Waller. NFL wide open Darren Waller in the end zone. He threw it. That should have gotten picked because it was, you know, it was closer to the defender than it was to Waller. And he ended up actually making a good play, knocking it down. That should have been picked. That should have been a fourth pick. So, I don't know what happened to him, man. You know, I don't know what happened. He didn't have a good game. He didn't have it going. Maybe he needed more snaps some snaps in the preseason. Maybe he was a little bit too jacked up having Devontae Adams. I noticed that Devontae Adams got a ton of targets, and not to say he doesn't deserve those targets, but last year when Carr started off cooking, there's three guys in 3 weeks with over 200 yards on this team. He was spreading the ball around, getting the ball around a little bit more than he's doing or he did in this last game. Yeah, man. Like I said about – I'm not going to bang on the defense and not do the same thing for the offense the other way. Like I said about Max getting a bunch of pressures. Like, with a guy like Herbert, pressure doesn't matter. Like, you got to get him on the ground because he can complete balls under pressure. I expect the same out of Derek Carr too. I'm not going to give him a pass just because he was under duress, because a lot of those – I think every single one of his interceptions – he wasn't getting grabbed on, or he wasn't getting taken to the ground. Like, he was able to throw the ball. He just delivered a poor pass.
The more I think about this, the more I'm like, why didn't we see this coming? He's always struggled early with a brand new offensive coordinator. Always has. Every single time. And Lord knows we have a large body of work to look from, right? Because he's had six offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Early every single time. He struggled. Every single time. And that's normal, right? Like, especially with no preseason, you know, brand new scheme and opposite of John Gruden in a lot of ways, right? Like, Gruden did a good job of teaching him to be able to move around in the pocket and be mobile in the pocket and maybe run a little bit if you have, not a running quarterback, maybe run a little bit if you have to. And Carr got a lot better at that over the 3 years with Gruden. McDaniels is the opposite. McDaniels is like 3-5-step drop and throw. You're not moving. He fined Mac Jones last season for scrambling. Like, that's what he wants. And so he's doing a lot of things opposite. And as we know, he's Mr. Soldier. Like, okay, I'm going to get rid of all my old habits and do everything completely different instead of just like, hey, Josh, let me do it this way this season. Or let me try it my way for a while. He's like, no, sir, We're changing it completely. And to have him do a complete 180 like that on short notice, no preseason, like we should have saw this coming. Like we should have known, all right, Carr's always struggled when he does a 180 and has a new offensive coordinator. We should have saw it coming.
All right, so we already sort of said this. I don't think McDaniels did him any fucking favors. I don't think Lombardi did him any favors whatsoever. I was staggered that there was not more of a running game. I was blown away that there weren't more screens. I was blown away that there weren't more quick outs, get the ball out of his hands, spread it around. All the things that a high schooler playing Madden would have done looking at this game ahead of time, knowing that they've got two all-pro pass rushers, to make life easy for Derek Carr. That being said, three interceptions is unacceptable. Those two fumbles, unacceptable. The manner of those interceptions, also completely unacceptable. All interceptions are not created equal. There's well-defended plays. There's balls batted at the line of scrimmage. These three were all on Derek Carr and no one else. They were underthrown or they were late. They were bad ball placement, bad timing.
Bad decision.
There's no
double coverage at Devontae.
He had
ball was just so fucking short. Look, if you're gonna throw to a guy who's double covered in the league, Devonta Adams is a pretty damn good pick, right? Because if he's gonna catch it, or he's gonna knock it down to make sure nobody catches it. But if you throw it so damn short that he can't even touch it, what are you gonna do?
So look, make no mistake about it. If Derek Carr plays like this, we are not going to the playoffs, and we are never gonna win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr. That's just what it comes down to. At which point, he's not gonna be the answer. So. Could he have been helped by the O-line? Could he have been helped with his head coach? Absolutely. But to throw three picks in a game like this, to put the ball on the ground twice again, it's unacceptable. It can't happen. And if it keeps happening, he's not the answer. And it's, you know, even RJ, like, you know, you are the biggest defender of Carr out of the three of us. Even you would admit that, right? So it's not something that it can keep happening moving forward. And I don't think it will. I think that Carr has earned the respect of his team. After last season, we know what he can do. I think this just chalk it up to a bad game and a perfect fucking game against the Cardinals at home next week with an exact playbook on how to beat them.
God damn, dude.
This is a big game.
Their secondary is worse than our secondary coming in. Like, they had to take our trash because their secondary was so bad. So we should be able to move the ball in the air against these guys. We should be able to. I don't expect Derek Carr to play this poorly ever again this season. This was like I was telling you guys, like if Cooper Rush played like this for the Cowboys, like he's probably one of the worst backup quarterbacks in the league. If he played like this, we would say, well, hey, a bad game. Like we wouldn't say, oh man, well, you know, he's a backup, whatever. Like that was a bad game for a bad backup quarterback, let alone, you know, 10-12 quarterback in the league, pushing to be higher. I think he was a little bit jacked up. He was playing with his boy. He wanted to make big plays to his boy, and he forgot the things he learned. He has to be able to stitch those things together. Like RJ, like in fighting, like you've had a Muay Thai coach, you had a boxing coach, you had an MMA coach, and it's your job to stitch those things together. Take the pieces and stitch that stuff together. Just because Josh McDaniels would rather you stay in the pocket doesn't mean you sit there in the pocket when there's no pocket there. You still have to move and sometimes slide and create the pocket and move with where the pocket is. And I didn't see any of that. I didn't see any pocket awareness. The pocket presence wasn't there. The movement inside the pocket wasn't there. I don't know, man. Maybe it was the first game jitters with Devontae. He was really jacked up. Well, I don't know what it was.
Using the same MMA analogy, like I always remember like when Anthony Pettis tapped out Benson Henderson, right? Like, Benson Henderson had arguably the best submission defense in all of MMA. Pettis tapped him with like a basic armbar from guard. Why?
Tight one, too.
Because he had him so flustered in the fight that it affected his ground game. Like he's getting so affected by fighting, he loses, like, right? I think that's what happened to Carr partly, right? Josh McDaniels is like, all right, we're going to have Carr play hero ball. We're going to have you do five-step drops and throw nothing but 15-yard passes. It's like, he's still learning the system. Not a great idea, right? Like I think it was what I'm hoping is the silver lining is that McDaniels is like, okay, Carr doing everything, five-step drops and just throwing darts. Let's not do. And two, the longer he's in the system, the more comfortable he should get, right? It was his first time in real play in Josh McDaniels' system, right? doesn't excuse the bad play, but I'm hoping that means, okay, that's the worst of it. That's the wake-up call. That's the rookie year. I'm making air quotes for those who can't see it on the podcast. Like, that was his wake-up call of the new system. It should, if that's the problem, only get better from here.
So I have three big takeaways and reasons for optimism. Number one, as poorly as Carr played, we still had a chance to win the game at the end. We still had the ball with 3.5 minutes left, two timeouts, and 2-minute warning. We had a chance. We had a legitimate chance to win that game. There's one. Mm-hmm. Number two, as poor as the game was called, I think we all agree the game plan was could have been better. The throws that didn't work were the execution of the play. It wasn't really the play because the play was there to be made. It was the execution of the pass. That was the problem. Mm-hmm. So that's another. The last one is we can get this one back. We play them again. So we can get this one. We can get this loss back.
Real quick before we leave, good, the bad, the ugly. There's a couple more comments on the game. Neither good, neither bad, neither ugly. I know I'm breaking the rules of the segment.
RJ, but you can do whatever you want.
But our defense, the adjustments we made at halftime made me feel so good.
I mean, 90 Herbert, yards passing Herbert at the second half.
Herbert had over 200 yards in the first half. It's like he's on pace to have like 450 yards on us. We have no sacks. We have no turnovers. And we are able to hold them to 7 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Held them scoreless in the fourth. Beautiful adjustments. And it wasn't the defense we thought. Like, we thought Patrick Kemp, aggressive, turnovers, sacks, in your face. It wasn't. It was keep everything in front of us. Don't let you move the chains. Get off the field. Bread and butter defense. Second half, beautiful adjustments.
So here's the deal. I think we're living in like kind of this video game Madden mentality where you have to get turnovers and get a bunch of sacks to be a good aggressive defense. Not necessarily the case. Look what happened with the fucking Cowboys. They were like, oh yeah, this defense is turning around. They're getting all these turnovers, this and that. We hung like fucking 40 on them. Okay. This defense, if it confuses Herbert, and it makes him make tough throws, make him make perfect throws. That's good enough. And for Ocho only lost 7 points in the second half, that's huge.
Yeah, it was impressive. Honestly, if you look at the box score, the amount of rushing yards they had, the amount of passing yards they had in the second half was all good. And in the big situations as well, I thought we played really well. Again, like short yardage, big stops. I thought our tackling was good. Coverage on the outsides was good. We answered a lot of questions. Like, Rock Yassin is going to be an asset. Nate Hobbs is, again, we've already spoken about him. Divine Diablo had the green dot, which is a big sort of subplot. Obviously, everyone expected it to be Perriman, but it was actually Diablo. He played really well. I think there was a lot of really good positives from this game. Like, we obviously lost the game, but I think moving forward, we're all pretty optimistic.
The under-the-radar heroes was our interior defensive line.
Right.
The Chargers rushed averaged 2.5 yards per carry. Austin Eckler had 36 yards on 14 carries. Like,
crazy.
They could not run against us. Now they have Justin Herbert, who's always going to eat, but they could not run against us. Couldn't do it. And it wasn't because our awesome new pickup in Chandler Jones, right? Perriman got hurt and left early, right? Like, Abram played awesome, especially in the box. But like, our interior defensive line, like all the sexiness goes on the ends, but our interior defensive line, it's like, what's their job? Stop the run. They did against a really good offensive line.
Yeah, to Diablo and Abram's credit, Eckler didn't get those swing passes for long gains either. He didn't have a lot of yards after catch. So that was big. Yeah. That's where he gets a lot of his yards, is off those little swing passes, little checkdowns.
Well, we lost and also came with the price. The injury report Sunday was not good. DJ Turner left with an ankle injury. He's now in the IR. Anthony Everett left with a broken thumb. Now in the IR. And these other injuries, we got no updates. Trayvon Merrick left with a hip injury. Didn't return. Denzel Perriman, ankle injury. Didn't return. Brandon Bolden, hamstring injury. Did not return. Andre James, in the very last play of the game, very last offensive play, apparently had concussion-like syndrome or something, concussion-like symptoms.
He, like, passed out or something, right?
And was taken in an ambulance.
It was crazy. Rewatched that play again. It was actually the fumble. He was diving to recover the fumble, and he had a head-to-head helmet to helmet with Joey Bosa, also diving in to recover the fumble. And he sort of just laid there face down, but you could tell it, like, you know, they fucked him up. And then the beat writers were saying in the locker room afterwards he was wearing shades and just seemed very out of sorts. So it looks like a significant concussion. They went and signed, what's his name, Billy Price, the old first rounder. He got added to the practice squad. So that's
the Giants last year, right?
I think so. I think he got traded to the Giants, but ex-first round pick, but it could mean that Parham's going to be playing center, which, you know, do you want your rookie guard playing center for you? Not particularly.
You can make the case that center is the second most important position on offense.
You got to throw him into the fire, man. See what he's got.
I guess we have no choice, right? So we got our first injury report of the week today. We obviously know what happens, you know, with Turner and Averett, right? They're on, you know, IR. Four did not participate. Bolden, James, Merrick, and Perryman did not participate. So again, Josh McDaniels was asked about all those injuries in the presser today, and you know, and very McDaniels is like, "Well, we're hoping they're going to be back. You know, fingers crossed. They're working out, they're rehabbing, so not giving us an inch. We don't know." But the four of them did not participate in practice. That is 3.5 starters: James, Merrick, and Perryman, Pro Bowler. Full-time starter, full-time starter. And then Bolden, that play had a lot of reps. I thought it was – I think he played the second most reps at running back, I think, behind after Jacobs did. So that's three starters for sure and a solid contributor.
I don't feel too bad about Bolden being out. I didn't like his use, to be honest. I thought he got opportunities away from Jacobs, especially running the ball that he doesn't necessarily deserve. Especially in short yardage scenarios, I can't even fathom giving Bolden the ball over Jacobs in short yardage.
And we have 5 running backs on the roster, so if we're gonna lose any position.
Yeah, and you can say obviously he's a receiving threat. He had the touchdown, but Amir Abdullah, you know, it's not a huge loss. Andre James, we've already spoken about. Merrick, before he got injured, wasn't having the best game, to be honest, in coverage, which was a little out of sorts. Mm-hmm. But that one seemed significant as a hip injury. Those are never usually, you know, like a 1 week sort of vibe. And Perryman is called day to day. He didn't practice, but it doesn't seem like a severe injury. It seems like the Merrick one is the most significant.
And the concussions are always so weird, right? Like, are the sunglasses and stuff just like preventative, right? Is it one day and you're back? Like, there's so little known about it.
Well, I mean, I had a pretty bad concussion from my car accident, and yeah, it's like someone has a flashlight in your eyes at all times.
Maybe you can step in for Andre James
if you need me to. Let me stretch out real quick.
This leather was not there anymore. You got to fill in for somebody.
You know, fill in between those butt cheeks. We don't relax.
Right. You guys ready to move on to Cardinals Raiders?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Home opener this Sunday, Arizona Cardinals at the Raiders. Obviously, the bookies aren't too upset about the Raiders' loss. They're a -5.5-point favorite against the Cardinals. A lot of injuries on the Cardinals as well. Our boy Trayvon Mullen, limited practice. Rodney Hudson didn't practice, but it's because he's kind of a veteran.
Old man.
Marco Wilson is basically the only good DB that they have. You're talking about their defensive backs earlier, Soto. He's basically the only one worth a shit. I mean, the entire DB room got eaten apart by Patrick Mahomes. That was like the only guy. He didn't just like do whatever he wanted to. No DeAndre Hopkins, obviously still serving his suspension. A lot to like in this matchup, boys.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a team that we can get healthy on, you know. Mm. We can eat on, you know, for sure. But we have to go out there and execute. They still have some guys that can make plays. James Conner can be a guy that can hurt you if you don't bottle him up. You know, even guys like AJ Green, older, but he showed he can make some plays. If you don't pay attention to him, there's, I don't know what the fuck's a tight end's name.
Zach Ertz.
He's questionable. He's questionable, but if he's on the field, he's showing he can hurt. So there's a lot of guys that can hurt you if you're not on your P's and Q's. I don't see us not being on our P's and Q's defensively. Offensively, we just need to execute better, and we're just better than them on that side of the ball.
This is the perfect tune-up game. The perfect tune-up game. Besides being the home opener, we've got the benefit of having seen how to pick apart this defense. Like, where are their weak spots? Oh, we don't have to guess. We literally know because Mahomes and co. just shred them apart. Mahomes went 30 of 39 for 360 yards and 5 touchdowns. He spread the ball around. Travis Kelce, obviously, 8. There is no good reason why Waller wouldn't be basically running the same routes. One thing Mahomes did that Carr didn't really do was spread the ball around with a good target share. Juju Smith-Schuster had 8. Valdez-Scantling had 4. He threw to his running backs with ruthless effectiveness. They had 6 catches for plenty of yards, 2 touchdowns. And if you're the Cardinals, you're looking at what the Raiders did in week 1 and you're saying, holy shit, Carr went to Davante Adams 17 times. Like, let's at least make them fairly one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, and take away Davante Adams with a bracket. So I'm really hoping we see Waller eat. I'm hoping we see Renfrow really go off. We've just got so many ways to beat them. They also had problems stopping the run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 6 yards a carry. McKinnon had 5.5 yards a carry. Basically, the Chiefs did whatever the fuck they wanted to them. And defensively, you look at their depth chart defensively, they've got some big names on there again. There's J.J. Watt. He's always going to cause problems. Buda Baker is a quality.
He may not play. He's probably not going to play.
He didn't play last Sunday.
He's probably not going to play.
If he doesn't play, I mean, who on this list is really giving anyone any sort of nightmares? I mean, Buda Baker's a decent safety.
Buda Baker, Isaiah Simmons, maybe. That's probably it.
Isaiah Simmons got fucking smoked by the Chiefs. I mean, truly, just abused. So, I mean, there's no good reason why we shouldn't win this game. We've got all the firepower. We've got a playbook on how to do it. I'm hoping this is a coming out party. This is a welcome to being a Raider, Josh McDaniels.
Kyler Murray is still Kyler Murray. Can beat you with his arm, beat you with his legs. Always someone to be careful about. But like you said, their weapons, like an old-ass A.J. Green, Zach Ertz, maybe not even play. He might be a little hobbled when he does. The weapons aren't really there. We all know Rodney Hudson, what a stud he is, but he's so old and kind of just like, yeah, like he almost retired this season, right? He was like last minute, it's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll play another NFL season, right? It's going to be one of those games where we can only lose if we beat ourselves, I feel like. It's one of those games.
Right. James Conner, 2.6 yards a carry. They had no run game. Kyler Murray, less than 200 yards passing. I'm hoping this is a blowout.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
That's some really smug analysis from us three. If we lose, oh my god, how bad are we going to sound? That wasn't even like deep analysis. Just like, these guys blow. We're going to kill them. When was the last time we were 5.5-point favorites? Doesn't happen often.
We were favorites against the Bears.
Yeah, like. Two or three.
I don't think it was that little.
We weren't 5.5.
Well, let's take a peek.
Maybe, yeah. I could be wrong.
I mean, this is kind of one of the problems, though. I mean, you sort of set this up. We do tend to underperform against shittier opponents.
Yeah.
Although it is typically on the road.
And not normally after getting our dicks kicked in and playing so sloppy before, right? Like, if you play cocky after last Sunday, this season's already over.
That's not around.
Yeah.
Should we say that? I mean, like, what if we do go 0-2 here? Like, is the season over?
No, I mean, playing cocky and losing are two different things, right? Like, we could lose and the season's not over, right? Carr's still learning this offense. We don't know what the injury situation is going to be. The defense is still learning everything, right? And this is what we talked about, like, all off seasons. Like, oh, the AFC West is so loaded. I'm like, yeah, it's super loaded, but there's a shit ton of question marks. Everywhere. New head coach, new coaching staff in Las Vegas, new coaching staff in Denver, Fangio out of Denver, new quarterback in Denver, no Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. It turns out it wasn't that big of a deal, but that issue, right? I still think Staley did kind of fuck up a little bit later because he took the foot off the gas of his offense in the second half against us and they only scored one touchdown, right? Like, they
agree.
he kind if there was if you could point the finger at any one person who led us back in the game, it was probably Staley being a little more conservative and it led us back. So there's still so many question marks in this whole AFC West, and the Raiders have as much as anybody in the AFC West. So
if the game tomorrow next, night. Can I just say the game tomorrow night? Holy shit. That's a good game.
Be a good one.
I'm so excited about tomorrow.
Appointment
game.
Viewing.
I mean, amazing viewing for everyone in the NFL, anyone that likes the NFL at all. But I mean, for Raider fans and the Raider team watching that game, like, we're going to see who the biggest opponent is in that group. And they both just came off of big wins. This is it's a clash of the Titans, man. It really is.
Is reducing what a windbags?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Caleb Landry. Look. You know he means business when he starts the question with look.
Look,
Carr didn't look rattled like you guys said. The thing that he did was you could tell he was just waiting for a big play to open up all game. He had receivers underneath, but you can see him looking downfield all game.
It was both.
Rattled?
What are you talking about? Yes, he did.
I mean, I think all things are true and all things are incorrect. He didn't have receivers underneath all game. There were some plays where there wasn't.
Was he looking for the big play? Yes.
Yes.
Did he have Agreed. Receivers underneath all game? No. Did he look rattled at times?
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
There was a couple of plays where he did this, and he still had time to look down the field. He was like, oh, shit, I'm going to get hit. Oh, shit, no. Okay. I saw that at least twice.
That's so Derek Carr as well, huh? It's like the right tackle bumped into him a little bit, and he thought he was about to get hit, and he's like, oh, shit.
He grabbed the ball. I'm good. I got to throw the ball again.
Yeah.
Richard Kidd, a couple questionable play calls. Devontae reversed, Carr blocking Bosa, taking three turnovers into the half with possession. No safety valve, no screens. After all that mess, we still could have won. We're okay. And this was kind of just like, and we already touched on it. It was kind of like panic set in. In our chats on our post game, Rory, they had like seven people like get Stidham in there. I'm like, what?
it ran the gamut from it's not Carr's fault. Carr was put in a position to fail. To we'll
get
be fine.
Stidham in there.
Stidham time. And that's
like, you gotta realize, man, there's a lot of beer consumed on game days. Like, there's a lot of emotions.
How much
a lot
crack
of alcohol,
was consumed
like,
on game days?
Yeah, bath salts too. Like, I don't know how.
God, damn.
I could drink a 30-pack, and I don't know if I'd be like, you know what? Stidham's the guy to take us to the promised land.
RJ, I'll tell you something. I don't drink anymore, but if we lose to the Cardinals, I'm taking a 30-pack to your house, and we are finishing that
crushing
motherfucker.
It. We're crushing that fucker.
Rory, are you going to be around?
Yeah, man, I'm around this weekend.
I'm going to pick two 30-packs. Two 30-racks. That's 20 for each of us. It's going to be Natty Ice, though.
Oh, it needs to be it should be like, what was that turtle beer? Kaguama or whatever?
Kaguama.
Natty Ice is the biggest pee water there is out there.
It needs to be the shittiest. It needs to be the beer from Married with Children where all it does is say beer. Like, you can't buy it at a chain store. Like, you have to go to some, like, bootleg liquor store.
Okay, reason 582 why I hate hipsters, because PBR is now super expensive for no goddamn reason.
Right, used to be my good. Really? That used to be my go-to quality cheap beer.
It was a
I'm
quality
a
cheap
latte
beer
kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bring the Tap the Rockies.
Jeremy Weiss, why the Raiders only gave Josh Jacobs 10 carries is ridiculous. Our line run blocks pretty well. Oh, pretty well, better than the pass block. And Jacobs' running style wears defenses down. We run Jacobs 25 times in that game, and Bosa and Mack would have been gassed by the third quarter. Daniel's play calling absolutely sucked. And just to throw this one in, the penalty on Hobbs was absolute horseshit.
Agreed, yeah. Agreed, and agreed.
If there was any game where Jacobs is going to run 25 games, it's going to be week one when he's not banged up and hurt and against the Chargers. And he ran it 10 times.
Indeed.
And ran 10 times effectively. It's not like he kept running into walls and they had to pivot. Ran 5.7 yards carry.
Every single one of those comments was spot on. Jeremy Weiss, good shit. Mm-hmm.
Good shit, bro.
All right, so Sunday, home game, afternoon window. Cardinals coming to town. 5.5-point favorites. That makes me feel good. And again, hopefully we weren't too smug with our analysis, because after a performance like that and the errors we made on Sunday, there's no place for it. hopefully a bounce back game. We shall see. We'll keep you abreast, of course, of any news that breaks between now and then. We'll make sure we post videos of anything big that happens in between now and then, but may not see you until post game show for Raiders Cards. If that's the case. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.